You're listening to the Paranormal Peeps on the Darkcast Network. Come to the dark side of indie podcasts with the Darkcast Network.
We have cookies. Between the realm of the dead and the journeys of the living, join Josh, Jamie, and Elisa as they delve into the vast world of the paranormal and breathe life back into the history of the departed.
I'm Dawn.
And I'm Cole.
And Scottish Murders is a true crime podcast dedicated to people from or living in Scotland.
Just like anywhere else in the world, these murders can be truly horrific and shocking, and we want to shine more light upon them.
Join us every 2 weeks on Scottish Murders, where we'll bring you cases both solved and unsolved, giving you an insight into the other side of Bonnie Scotland.
Find us wherever you stream your podcasts, as well as on social media.
Join us there. Bye.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Paranormal Peeps podcast. I'm Elisa.
I'm Jamie.
And I'm Josh.
And today we have a special episode. Finally, one of our investigations.
From last year.
Dun, dun, dun.
Not quite a year ago.
Nope. Thank goodness.
Well, close enough.
It's close enough, though. But today we are doing all of our evidence review from when we went to the Mackey Mansion.
Yeah, and this was a 12-hour investigation.
In 18-degree weather.
It was so cold.
Yeah, and you know, you're thinking Mackey Mansion, right? So they have original carpet in spots, and they have, like, furniture. And you're thinking, oh, it's not going to be bad because it's indoors. Mm-hmm. And surely with all that old stuff in there, they're not going to want it to be freezing cold.
Oh, no.
They're going to have some heat in there, right? No. No, no. They did not.
I swear it was colder inside than it was outside.
Yeah. I would agree. And you couldn't wear your shoes, or if you wore your shoes, you had to put booties over them.
I wore booties.
See, I just brought an extra pair of socks and wore two layers of socks, but by the end of the night, numb.
I was frozen.
Yeah. We were all pretty cold.
Yeah, it was so cold.
Yeah.
And there was one little space heater in the...
That we fought over.
Yeah, literally only one person could stand in front of. And it would only coat, like, just...
The front half of you?
Yeah. You have to rotate. Okay, your turn.
Like, no. A rotisserie chicken. Yeah, rotating.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so cold. It was fun, though.
It was. It was definitely fun. And it's one we had wanted to do for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's because it's just such a known place inside of Virginia City. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been, a lot of the ghost shows have been there. So it's like, hey, let's go do that one. That'd be fun. Just learn not to do it in the wintertime.
Well, I mean, it was in April. Technically, that's spring, but that's still pretty cold for spring.
Yeah. It felt like winter.
Yeah, it did.
Well, it snowed the two days before. It snowed on us.
Yeah.
When we were investigating.
So cold.
We never know it was going to soon be cold.
Well, and you know, like, desert plus winter is freezing.
It is so cold at night.
Yeah, but it was fun. So let's talk about who John Mackey was. Because, I mean, the house bears his name. So who was he, right? Honestly, he was like kind of the perfect rag to riches story in the U.S. He grew up an Irish immigrant in New York City in one of the most notoriously bad slums. So like he grew up poorer than poor. Like most people, he hopped on a steamship, went to California in 1851 for the gold rush. And he spent like 8 years in California mining gold.
8 years.
8 years.
Cool. It must have been worth it.
It was, I mean, he made money, but, you know, they're always looking for that big strike.
Mm-hmm.
Never found him. And so all of a sudden, you know, there's a chance in Virginia City. So he packs up, heads out to Virginia City, and starts mining in Virginia City. So while he's there, he actually starts working in one of the mines, and he gradually gains ownership and better mining ground. So in 1865... he actually is one of the majority owners of a previously obscure mine called Kentuck, which owned a minuscule sliver of the Comstock lode between two much bigger mines. And in the last half of that year, Mackey invested all the money he had amassed in the 6 years of brutal labor and every penny he could borrow on prospecting the Kentuck far below the surface. For 6 months, he didn't find a single ton of profitable ore.
But, that would be disappointing.
Wouldn't it?
For 6 months?
For 6 months.
Ugh.
265 feet underground.
Dang. Ooh, that is deep.
Yes. And by the end of the year, Mackie was teetering the edge of bankruptcy.
Well, so, yeah, it can only take you so far, and you know, unless you hit something.
Exactly. So on New Year's Day, 1866, he and his small workforce hacked into a 10-foot-wide mass of reddish, sugary gold and silver infused quartz at the bottom of Kentuck's mine, 250 feet below the surface.
Dang. Ooh. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Over the next 2 years, Mackie mined more than $1.6 million worth of gold and silver from his tiny little Kentuck mine.
Well, nowadays, that would be way more.
$375 million today.
Dang. Cool.
During that time, Kentuck paid $592,000 to its stockholders, which is a 37% yield, a substantial portion of which went straight to Mackie.
Nice. Well, he deserved it. That's a lot of work.
That is a lot of work.
And super dangerous.
Yes.
Because if you're dying, like if you have a rock fall down there and you're covered, you're not coming out.
No.
So what's interesting, because like I don't know if all of us have been in mines, but most of us have been inside of a mine and you're in the flashlight and everything else like that, right? Most of these people who are in the mine mining, they had a tiny little candle that they attached to their top of their helmet. Mm-hmm. And now imagine, I mean, you're talking like barely any light in there.
And down there, I'm sure, like, because I've been in mines and they're dark and wet and
cold.
yeah
it's
and pitch black
except for that tiny little light. It's like less than a nightlight today. Like,
now today there's flashlights that can turn off street lamps.
Yeah. So what's crazy is Mackie made a lot of money in his tiny little mind, right? But that didn't stop him. So he kept mining. And after 2 years of mining ventures and one almost expensive failure, he had his biggest success in 1874 and 1875 when he and his partners hit the big one, 1,500 feet below the surface.
Holy crap.
Wow. And I thought 250 was far.
No kidding.
Right? And he was actually still between two big mines. So he was next to the Consolidated Virginia and the California mines. The ore body still holds the record for the most concentrated in history.
Wow.
And it made John Mackie one of the wealthiest men in the world. His share of profits ran between $20 and $25 million, or $50 billion
today.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's so much money, it's almost scary.
It is crazy. So in 1876, John Mackie's cash income from dividends of the two mines exceeded $450,000 per month. The only people in the world with a monthly cash income anywhere comparable were his actual junior partners of the company.
Oh my word.
And they had an aggregate cash income running between 1.2 and 1.5 million a month.
Holy moly.
So they were the wealthiest firm in America and prospectively the richest in the world.
Sheesh.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Can I have a percent?
Right?
Just one. Just give me 1%.
So after he made a bunch of money mining, right, he decided that he wasn't going to stop there. And what he ended up starting to do was laying a telegraph cable from California to Hawaii.
Holy moly, are you kidding?
236 miles on the floor of the Pacific Ocean.
Holy moly.
I can't even believe that.
Right?
Oh, he's ambitious.
Super ambitious. Very super driven.
Yeah.
And so that was his big adventure. And then unfortunately, he never saw it completed because he died later the year that he started.
What did he die from? Does it say?
I didn't find out.
Okay.
But he did die with his wife at his side.
Well, I mean.
But he was on a business trip, so he wasn't actually in the mansion when he passed away.
Yeah. Wow.
So the mansion itself was actually built in 1860 and wasn't built by Mackie. It was actually the original offices of Gold and Curry Mining Company. And the home's first resident was George Hurst, who was the superintendent of the Gold and Curry Mines. He made his beginnings and vast fortune actually in Virginia City and was one of the wealth's most famous characters. I don't know why. He just is. I didn't look him up. I didn't really investigate into why.
Yeah, because we're just doing a brief.
Maybe he just had a great personality.
Yeah.
Let's exactly. go with that.
Probably. He was very nice in that avenue. So one of the big stories, I know we heard this, because inside the mansion, there's a giant vault.
Yep.
And that's where all the bullion was stored. All the gold was stored. And of course, if you have that much money around, people are going to want to steal it.
Of course.
So what they did was they kept an armed guard inside the vault.
Ooh, surprise!
At all times. So two guys break into the house, get into the vault, and then immediately killed. Pew, pew.
I bet that was a surprise.
Right? So the interesting thing is in 1875, there was a huge fire in Virginia City. And in fact, it wiped out most of D Street and C Street. And unfortunately, the Mackey Mansion was spared.
Right.
But John Mackey's house was not. He didn't live there at the time. He lived in a different place. So he lost his house in that fire.
Interesting.
And so he's like, I need a new house.
Yeah.
And so he bought the Mackey Mansion.
That's when, okay.
That's how he got a hold of it.
I wonder what his house looked like before.
That's a good question. Know.
How was it comparable to the Mackey Mansion?
That's a good question. Probably not as nice, maybe. I don't know.
It's so funny to think, though, because nowadays that is definitely not a mansion. That is in a small to average size home.
That's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. Yep. I mean, that's exactly what it is.
It has a basement that we weren't able to go into, like deep into, you know, so there's more to it.
Yeah.
There was a dining room down there and
most likely a kitchen. Mm-hmm. I know there are bedrooms down there just because that's where the
caretaker,
caretakers stay. But it's like, I wonder back then, you know, he was wealthy still. So what did his house look like? What was the style of it, the looks of it?
I think the fire actually happened before the find of the Comstock.
It was probably just an average home for the time.
Yeah, it was the mining office at the time, which it was still when Mackey bought it, he still ran his mining company out of the house.
No, I meant the home that burned down.
Oh, yeah. It was probably
just the average home for the time.
Yeah. Which still, though, I mean, he was still living in a house, which is for most people who were in that area at the time, they were living in like little cabins and shacks and tents even.
Uh-huh. Well, and you see that in a lot of these old ghost towns where there was like a gold rush and stuff. Like Bannock is the same way.
A bunch of houses all the same. Yeah.
Bachelor Row is what they would call it. Just little single room cabins.
Just enough to sleep in, eat in, and go back to the mine.
That's right. Yep.
So because he was so wealthy during his time there, he actually filled the home with, of course, beautiful furniture, art, and great decorations, including things like flushable toilets, which
fancy,
which is
made of gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gold plated.
There is a gold toilet in the upstairs bathroom, which is original to the house.
Mm-hmm. And was appraised for like $10,000 for a toilet.
For a pooping throne.
You gotta wonder though, like we have some very rich people in this country that are on that level, right? Mm, billionaires. Do they spend $10,000 on a toilet?
You know, to each their own, but I hope not.
Right?
That's a waste.
That would be like the last thing. I mean, I sit my butt there and no.
But at the same time, I mean, yes, his house was nice, but it wasn't like the Mackey Mansion. Yeah, it's nice, but it's not like that nice.
Well, it was nice for the time, probably.
It was probably immaculate. I mean,
for the time
picture
period.
Of wealth at the time.
Yeah.
But even then, like, I don't know, when you look at New York and you look at these townhouses, they're bigger than this, you know, and more extravagant than this. So really, like in my mind, I'm like, okay, this is more of a mediocre, nice house compared to like the rich people in New York or whatever.
Right. Yeah. You're looking
even at though he's really wealthy, right?
New York, you're looking at a big city even for that time, whereas Virginia City is just like a little
teeny tiny, right?
Town.
Still?
Yeah.
Right. And I totally get that. But he has all this money.
Why didn't he do more?
No,
why'd he stay there?
I'm thinking like, why not spend a buttload of money on a gold toilet? Because I can. Well, like, what else is he going to do?
I mean, the crazy thing is he had the gold anyway. So it's like he's buying the gold. He's just like, we'll take a little bit out of this pot here. We'll just put it on the toilet. We're good.
I'm just going to melt it in the shape of a toilet.
So the mansion actually had a 500-gallon water tank out by the house, which provided, it was a gravity flow tank, so that would have been like by the top of the house. So think about it. That is something that most people didn't even have running water at the time, and they got a 500-gallon water tank on their house. And in 1874, there was a water heater installed. So you had hot running water.
Lucky, lucky.
Ooh. Right? Living the life right there.
I know.
It's not that way now.
No.
No.
Like,
very different.
Very different. And so some of the most famous things that have happened in there, there's obviously hauntings that are associated to there. There are two little girls that are supposed to be seen in there, in the house. There is the maid, Harriet, who likes to hang out in the parlor.
Yep. Which I think she's my favorite.
Yeah. Mine too.
Yeah, I think so. And there's a shadow man that's supposed to be seen, which they believe is Mr. Mackey. And then there's an army colonel that's seen on the stairs.
And it was his friend that lived there with him, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
So those are the known hauntings of there. The interesting thing is there's a very famous person who had an experience with the ghost there, and that was Johnny Depp.
He's my favorite.
He's so funny.
He's so
funny.
Good.
He's so good.
So when he was there in 1995 filming Dead Man, he actually stayed in the house during the filming process, and he slept up in Mr. Mackey's bedroom and ate at the beautiful dining room table in the basement of the building.
Oh, I'm sure.
So he was actually sleeping on the bed and was awoken one night to a little girl sitting on the end of his bed.
That would be a little startling.
Wouldn't mm-hmm. it?
Anytime I'm waking up with a kid right there,
Especially yeah. when you know there's not supposed to be a kid there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
That's kind of cool.
That's the story of the Mackey Mansion.
So, did Johnny Depp stay there multiple nights, or after he saw that little girl, he's like, no, I'm staying somewhere else?
He kept staying there. He stayed there the entire time they were filming. That happened in the middle of his filming.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's so cool.
So neat.
So, let's start off with our investigation.
Yeah.
So, we had something happen right as we were setting up. And we were putting out cameras, and I went up to the top floor and was putting a camera at the end of the hall, and the whole upstairs just felt heavy and icky and like I was being watched. And normally that doesn't really faze me a ton. And I'm like, ooh, it's going to be a good night. Like that's really what I get. But this time I was like,
I got to get out of here.
I'm not supposed to be up here.
I'm not. Like, someone does not want me up here.
Yeah. And it was really intimidating. I really just felt overwhelmed. So I was like, I went down. And then, like, because I didn't want to be up there alone anymore. So anyways, I went down and Stacy went up. Yep. And Stacy was like, oh, I feel it. As soon as you get to the top of the stairs, like, you can feel it. And I was like, okay, if Stacy feels it,
that's saying something
because he doesn't feel anything.
No. No. He's got the sensitivity of a rock.
So Stacy goes there, and it made him feel like creeped out up in there. And so he left and instantly felt it go away within seconds. And then didn't you go up there?
Yeah. So the camera, so we were setting up the DVR cameras and they were having a hard time getting it aligned right. And so I'm like, okay, I'll have to go up there and mm-hmm. and get it aligned properly. So then I went up there, and yeah, once you hit the top of the stairs, you're like, you are not supposed to be in this house.
It felt like a very ticked off individual.
It was very ominous. It wasn't
crazy.
It didn't feel dark.
It just felt
like you're not supposed to be
angry.
Here.
Yeah, this is off limits.
Yeah.
Get mm-hmm. out.
Not like a type 3 spirit.
But, yeah, but it's just somebody who's like, you're not supposed to be up mm-hmm. here. You're trespassing.
Yeah, not your house. Go away.
And it felt very male, in my opinion.
Wow.
It was very domineering. So that was interesting. So that was a good start to the night.
I mean, it kind of makes sense if you think about it, though, because there was, you know, there was proper etiquette and everything back in the, especially back in those days, you know, even in those small little mining towns. And, you know, a home like that with, you know, wealthy people or whatever.
100%.
And, mm-hmm. you know, bathroom areas and bedroom areas are a very private thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I could see that you got some strangers walking up here. This is where your personal area is. And
it's like, excuse me.
Somebody's like, yeah, it's mm-hmm. like, it's like a, you know, invasion of your personal space.
Yeah. Cause
so
while the mining office was a public space, it was still only the first part of when you walk in.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. then everything else was
private.
Was their private residence.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, to me, it makes sense why someone would be kind of enraged and be like, you're not supposed to be here.
Totally.
You know.
So who is the, I think me and Stacy were the first mm-hmm. to go up and go investigate.
Yeah.
Well, you guys went up.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you guys went up shortly a time after that, I went into the parlor by myself.
Yeah. Yeah. We could hear you.
I could hear you guys too.
I know. In that house, this is how it is.
It says mansion, but like she says, today's standards, it's not.
Yeah.
No, I think our townhouse is bigger than that place.
Yeah.
Stacy and I went up, and before I could even start recording, I got my SLS camera out. And what that is it shows you on the screen an image of a stick figure.
Yeah, and maps.
Mm-hmm, it'll map the image and find the people.
Yep.
But anyways, it's just like the Kinect camera is what it is. I asked Stacy to go into the other room to see how it made him feel because of that experience that we had just had.
When you say other room, do you mean Mrs. Mackey's room or Mr. Mackey's? Oh, yes, sorry.
So we are in Mr. Mackey's room.
Okay.
And right across from it is Mrs. Mackey's room. I had him go in there to see how it made him feel because our room ended up being like really chilled out and like nothing was in there at all. So he left and could feel it instantly, but then within seconds it was gone. So I got the SLS out to see if it would stand by him, but nothing showed up. The top of Stacy's head felt weird, and the image that we got on the SLS when we first started was up where his head was. So even though we weren't catching it on the camera, right before that, when we got the SLS out, we captured something that was right above where his head was.
Oh, interesting. Cool.
So he went over there and he could feel it on his head. I got the rods out and they just started flying. It was on the rods. It was Mr. Mackey. He confirmed that he was the shadow man. And then we heard two loud thumps, and I asked him how many kids he had, and he tapped the rods together three times. And then I said, how many girls? And he went two. And how many boys? And he went one, which was right. And then that he and his wife were there most of the time, and he would also be there with his daughters. Even though that the kids grew up, he said that you can choose whether to be young or whether to be old. Because I asked him, I was like, they grew up.
Right.
So why would there be little kids, like little girls?
Right.
Yeah.
And why would you guys be adults? And you know what I mean? And he was saying through the rods that it was
your choice.
Your choice. You want to show up. But so I thought that was interesting.
I think that confirms what we've thought before, though.
Well, and I've heard other cases of experiences where spirits have answered the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, or like, say a mother loses their child, and instead the child comes back at a young age to be like, Mom, I know you'll remember me this way, but I'm actually an adult.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm going to come back to you as a young child so that you'll know
that it's me,
and you'll recognize me.
Yeah. Well, you had a similar thing like that in the prison, in the old Montana State Prison, when Elisa had her back to Turkey Pete's door. You said you felt him and noticed and felt him as a young man, not as the old man that he was.
Well, no,
I did. Felt
it. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Elisa felt him. What she could feel and interpret was that he was his younger self before he had lost his mind.
Right.
Yep.
And you could see something
behind her back was to his jail cell door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dark in that cell, but you could see something that was darker than dark. And it was going from left to right, like
back and forth,
but it was like it was angry.
Yeah.
Like it was going back and forth, not like pacing, just like, I mean, it was actually kind of moving kind of fast, and it's not a big cell. And then at one point it would stop like in the middle of the cell on the back wall, and then it would rush up to the bars.
Where I was at.
And I had like my hair was standing on end, and I'm just like, okay,
ask me to step away from the bars?
Yeah. I told her, you need to step away from the bars because he's back and forth, and then up on your back. And it's like,
which would not be like Turkey Pete was
an old man.
An old man and very like friendly and
yeah.
and
just happy, go lucky, not in his right mind.
Yeah, he was senile yep. by the time he died.
They were letting him out and doing his own thing at that point.
He bought the prison and, you know, and
wrote checks and everything.
Wrote checks for $1 million and bought the prison, you know. That was his world at that time.
So, yeah. So what I was feeling was correct with what was looking as the spirit, because otherwise that wouldn't have made sense.
Yep. Yeah.
So again, with the rod session, Mr. Mackey said that there were 12 spirits in that room at the time, which I wonder if that's also why it felt so intense when we went up there.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's not a very big room.
It is a lot.
No.
Well, not just in that room, just when we went upstairs to go set up.
Yeah.
But because you know how some ghosts like congregate to one area?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you'll get that and you'll go in places and you're like, there's nothing going on here. And then you'll go into another place and it's loaded.
Overflowing even.
But we talked about how much they loved their maid, Harriet, which is who we love.
Yes. Good old Harriet.
Yes.
She was cute. Well, and we'll continue talking about her later. But and they took really good care of her.
Yes, they did. They loved her very much.
And they took care of her even after she passed. I had to reset the rods because after a while, your wrist kind of hurt, your hands kind of hurt.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to hold as still as possible and not breathe, not move. So I sat them down and I said, okay, hold on a second. And then I get an EVP saying, no, this again? And it's male. And we'll play that for you.
Okay, let me fix my hands. Just a swing. Okay, try that again. Okay, let me fix my hands. And then just a swing. Okay, try that again.
About a minute later, I asked if there were any other spirits in the room, and I got two knocks on what sounds like glass or ceramic, and I'll play that for you.
Are there other spirits that are in this room right now? Did you hear that? There's like a little tapping. Are there other spirits that are in this room right now? Did you hear that? There's like a little tapping.
And it's really quiet and faint, but you can hear those two little taps.
Yeah, you might need to put on headphones.
Because they're real light, but it does sound like someone taking like a fingernail.
And tapping on ceramic almost.
Yeah.
Because I think, wasn't there like a wash bowl in the corner, in the sun? Like
a bowl and pitcher that they used to wash their face and stuff?
Yeah, I think so.
There might have been. I honestly don't remember.
Generally in those houses there are.
Mm-hmm. That's why I think.
But I'm not sure. But we started getting two figures on the SLS as soon as Stacy was trying to record it, because he got out his phone to record it and they left.
Of course.
Right. That's how it always works. It's so great. And I asked, Colonel, is that you? Which was Mr. Mackey's friend, because he lived with them for a short amount of time. And then I got an EVP. We're not going to play it because it's so quiet, but I got an EVP saying, sorry. So it's very quiet. And that's unfortunately how a lot of EVPs are.
They're super quiet.
Whispery and quiet.
Yeah.
But the ones that are loud enough for you to hear will play, and hopefully you guys can catch it. And please wear headphones when you're listening. Otherwise, odds are you're not going to hear it as good.
Yep. So while they were up in Mr. Mackey and Mrs. Mackey's bedroom, I was down in the parlor by myself, which normally we don't investigate by ourselves.
But you weren't really by yourself.
I was not really by myself, because just on the other side of the wall was base camp, and that's where Karina and Jamie were hanging out at the time. So I break out the dowsing rods and set up some equipment on top of the table. So I put a cat ball and one of the REM pod style devices we had, and my digital recorder. And so I'm sitting in the corner, And I start trying to talk to Harriet. And we get Harriet, which sounds like Harriet laughing, and then an EVP of a man right afterward that's like, Harriet? Like reprimanding her for breaking decor.
Well, I don't know. So when I listened to this, honestly, I don't think he was like reprimanding her. I think it was his awe and shock of her outburst of laughter.
Harriet?
Like, Harriet.
that's actually closer.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me.
So we're going to play that now for you.
Harriet. Did you like Harriet? Did you like?
And like of all the EVPs all the time I was there, that's the only EVP I got. But I did get some interesting information from Harriet. And she says that she moved to Virginia City to be a teacher, not to be a maid. But she wasn't able to find any work as a teacher. So she ended up becoming a maid for the Mackeys. And while we know that they loved her, I asked her the same question. Did you love the Mackeys? And she's like, no.
Really?
She said she had a lot of respect for the Mackeys.
Okay.
But it wasn't the same, like, love relationship.
Okay.
But she also did say she loved to bake and cook. And I asked her if she'd make a pie for us in the morning. And she said she would.
Yes. I remember you telling us that.
And she also mentioned that she worked with Mackeys until the day she died.
Yeah.
Which I think there is a death picture of her in the parlor.
Oh, yeah. And that's part of the respect that they showed her is because you wouldn't typically do that for your maid.
No.
No. No, you sure wouldn't.
So that just tells you how much they loved her.
And I think part of the reason is she was like that mother figure. She took very good care of them. She was good at what she did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Stacy and I go up to Mrs. Mackey's room, and which is the room that Johnny Depp stayed in, from what we heard from that place. But I don't know if he stayed in Mr. Mackey's or Mrs. Mackey's, but either way.
It's one of those beds.
They're right
one
next to way. Each other. Yeah.
Yeah. So it could have been their daughter, Emma, that he saw, which I'm kind of hoping that that's who it was. Because throughout the night, it seems like she makes a little bit of an appearance. But with the SLS, it looked like someone was laying on the fainting couch. And he moved his arm and laid it back on the couch. So he's on the couch.
Like dramatic.
Oh, so dramatic.
Arm like, over the head.
It even moved and switched sides of the couch and laid in the other direction. And then Stacy and I go over there to the couch to see if it felt colder than the air around it. And then it disappeared. So he said it felt a little colder, but it was a little hard to tell just because the building was so flipping cold.
But here's the thing. When we had the tour of the house before we start our night of investigation, mm-hmm. the caretaker there, she had told us a story of this very thing that people would report. But she says the person was having fun with themselves on the fainting couch and mm-hmm. that sometimes they would start on the bed and end up on the floor.
Yep. Which actually, that's exactly what we got.
Yep.
And I think Ghost Adventures went there and they had that on their SLS as well.
Did they really?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I'm going to have to go back and look at that one now.
Yes.
And then, because that's how I found out about it. And then I was like, oh, that's disgusting.
No it is.
Way. And then I have my SLS. And mind you, it's not like there's anything for it to map.
Like, there's stuff in other parts of the room, but not on the fainting couch.
Or the bed.
Or the bed.
Or the bed. Off to the side.
Nowhere near it.
Off to the side, there's a couple of the...
Yeah, up against the wall.
The dresses, like those...
On the mannequins, up against the wall.
But it's not it. Like, it's, anyway. So, yeah, it looks like it's doing that on the bed, and then the guy on the couch, and you're like, oh, my word.
Yeah, I mean, it's... The thing is you don't... I mean, it's obvious what he was doing.
Yeah.
When you look at it, when you look at the footage, it's obvious what was going on there.
Right after I set the recorder down and Stacy and I go walking around and start taking pictures, like he's shining a flashlight and I'm taking pictures and vice versa, he and I audibly heard a growl or something say, go. And then when I listened back to the recording, it totally sounds like a ghost burp. It sounds like a ghost went up right up to my recorder and just belched into the recorder.
Maybe it's the same guy that was on the fainting couch. Maybe that's the ominous feeling y'all felt when you went up there. He's like, dude, this is my private time. You need to go.
He's got like a beer and he's drinking.
And then he's like, all right, if you're not leaving, I'm just going to go about my business.
You'll put on a show for you
guys.
That's
right.
So we'll play that for you now.
I leave the parlor a short time after. Jamie actually goes into the parlor.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of start getting ready to investigate. And not a whole lot's
Not a whole lot's going on.
But Elisa does come down and join you.
Yes, she mm-hmm. does.
And that's when you guys are talking about Harriet and having this discussion. And Elisa gets up to go look at the picture of Harriet, which is on the, I think it's on a piano, like one of the organ piano on the, in the corner. And that's when Elisa's like, I smell cinnamon.
Yep. And it's just for a second. It's just like one breath is really all you.
One
all
inhale.
One inhale is all you smell. And then it just goes away. And it's not just like a little hint of it. Like you really smell it. It smells like cinnamon. And then it goes to Jamie.
Yeah.
Well, you walked back. Walking back and you're like, I smell it again.
Yeah.
And then Jamie's like, can you do that? Over here?
Yeah, because Jamie couldn't smell it.
Not at the time.
No.
But then it did come over that way.
And then you got one
whiff of cinnamon.
One whiff of cinnamon.
I love cinnamon.
And that's just kind of how that time went, is every once in a while, one of us would get a whiff of cinnamon. Yeah. Just one whiff. That was it.
Yeah.
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon. Cinnamon.
What's funny, though, is it wasn't long after you guys had the cinnamon smell, because base camp was right on the side of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
There were, I mean, people are talking in base camp, right? And,
yeah.
And Stacy's telling the story of the SLS camera and stuff happening on the SLS camera. So we're like, well, that's really cool. And our voices got a little too low. So it sounds like we're whispering.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamie's like, is someone whispering over there? And then we get an EVP and it's a male voice that goes, no.
Somebody whispering over there? Josh? Somebody whispering over there? Josh?
And then I'm like, yeah, we're whispering over here.
Well, no, you said there's people outside.
Walking up the street.
Yeah, that you said there's...
in front of the house.
Because I was thinking, because as I was listening to my recordings,
yeah.
I was like, oh! This is a woman shrieking. This sounds amazing. This is so good. And it like kept going for like a minute.
Yeah.
And it really sounded like an EVP of a woman going,
but it was just people walking home
just
from
people
the bar
outside.
See, yeah. See, your digital recorder picked up the people outside.
Uh-huh.
My camera picked up none of it.
Mine was all female.
Yeah. Mine picked up nothing from outside. Like it was like perfectly inside the building, which was nice. And then go ahead.
So in that same time, same room. After Josh says that there are people outside, a REM pod goes off. And as we're looking at the cameras, right after, we see an orb that goes in front of Josh and Stacy. Do you remember that? So
that was on the DVR.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So I had been, or Jamie had been in that room for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I get up and go get something to eat. Jamie stays there.
Yeah.
And then Jamie comes up into base camp. And Josh, you and Stacy go upstairs into Mr. Mackey's room. Mrs. Mackey's room. I believe it's Mr. Mackey's room.
Oh.
Oh, it was, yeah, it was Mrs. Mackey's room.
Oh, that's right. We go up there to use the SLS camera.
Yeah. And so there's an orb that goes up to the bed, back down, and then it goes across the hall into the bathroom. And mind you, like, it's one big orb. It is too big to be a bug. It's too cold to be a bug.
Yeah.
And if it's that big and it's and you're picking it up, you're going to see the wings. Yep. So yeah. You know it can't be a, it's not a bug because there's no wings.
And they're not seeing it. So, and it happens multiple times. And it's like all of us, me, Jamie, and Karina were all.
There it is.
Like, did you see that? There goes a kid. Like, it was really, really exciting, which made Karina just want to stay there the entire night.
And she did.
And she did. And just watched all the cameras.
She was entertained.
Yeah.
So we actually see it about 7 times.
Yeah, because when we were up there, oh, that's right. So when Stacy and I were up there, we're shooting with the SLS camera, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing, not a whole lot's going on for us. And we're catching, there's the two dress mannequins in the corner. We're picking them up. I was like, oh, that's so cool. And they're like, oh, it's just a mannequin again. But what was kind of freaky is we start hearing a woman screaming. And we're like, oh my gosh.
What is that?
What is that? Like, where is that coming from? And then we end up looking out the window and realizing it's someone up on C Street. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of freaky. I was thinking about getting my phone because she's like, I'm going to kill you.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like scary, violent. And it's like just a bunch of drunk people.
Yeah.
Up there. And it's like, whoa, that was kind of freaky.
Yeah, the gal that was doing that sounded pretty serious.
She did. She sounded very serious.
It wasn't like a playful, oh, I'm going to kill you. It was like, no, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, there was a few expletives that were used in that in exchange. Actually, quite a few.
But what I also found interesting during that time when those orbs were going, like all this is going on at the same time.
Yeah.
Right? All this at the same time. And the REM pod kept going off on the stairs all by itself.
Which there's nobody on the stairs. Everyone's essentially one. Stacy and I are upstairs and everybody else is downstairs. And we're essentially right over the top of them.
Yeah. So there's nothing that would make the REM pod go off. There's nobody around. And it just kept going off. So I found that was interesting with the fact that it didn't really go off a ton, except for just during this small amount of time, this brief window of where this orb is going around the room. And you can't see it with your naked eye. You can only see it on the monitors. And at the same time, the little REM pod's going off like crazy. So you keep hearing the REM pod and we keep seeing the orb.
So it's like, it's almost
it
like
coincides with
the, it's it almost does. Like people playing on the stairs, like kids mm-hmm. playing on the stairs. Cause that's where the REM pod was, sitting on those stairs. And if you walked mm-hmm. on the stairs, well, then they were creaky. And two, the REM pod would go off.
Yeah,
exactly. I thought that was really interesting. Okay. So while this is going on, I still have my recorder in the parlor. Okay. I just left it running.
Oh yeah.
And I get an EVP of a male, like, so, well, okay, rewind. Jamie has the radio.
Walkie-talkie, yeah.
And the walkie-talkie. And she,
clicky-talkie.
And she's talking, you're talking to Josh to see what's going on and, like, who's outside and, you know, whatever. Anyway. And I get an EVP while she's on the radio because there's a radio right next to my recorder. So it's really loud. And you hear it say it like, I don't even know how to explain this because I've never heard this before. But it's almost like it's using the same frequency that you're on and it's growly.
It distorts it.
It distorts it a lot. And it sounds like it's copying what she's saying and then goes, stop. And then right after that, then you hear grief. But nobody's in that room. So we'll play that for you.
Keeps going off as you're walking. Hey, why don't you hold in place for a second? Let's see if it goes off again. Keeps going off as you're walking. Hey, why don't you hold in place for a second? Let's see if it goes off again.
So in the parlor, we come back in the parlor and there is this long orb that we saw that comes out of the heart chair. Do you guys remember that?
I remember the chairs. There's two heart chairs.
I don't remember looking at the monitor. I didn't always pay attention to the monitors.
No. Yeah. So as we're looking for it on the monitor, I shouldn't say we're back in there. We're in the base camp. And because we see this orb come out of the the heart chair, from behind the heart chair. And as that happens, I don't know if anybody put two and two together, a piece, a back of the chair falls off.
I remember the little piece of the back, the top back of the chair falling off a wood piece.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that because I knocked it off myself.
Yes. Right. But I don't remember.
Yes. So as I was listening to the recording, I'm like, I don't think anybody put these two together. We're watching this orb come out of the chair and something falls at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, I found that really, really cool.
That's interesting.
That is super neat.
Mm-hmm. So I walk back into that room and then I smelt the cinnamon again.
Cinnamon.
It was so cool. Again, just for a brief second. But then Karina has said that she had been smelling it all throughout the night.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. So she's like, that's not you guys, because I've been smelling that on and off throughout the night. And so that was cool, because then that just coincides with what we were smelling.
Yeah.
And then Jamie joined me back into the room and we started the dowsing rod session. And she was talking to the maid, Harriet, about different things that she could make with cinnamon. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
So what were you asking her?
I just remember like talking about cinnamon rolls.
Yep.
Pie.
And, yeah.
Drinks.
Cinnamon pie, you know, mulled wine, which will have cinnamon in it. But I don't remember fully. It's almost been a year.
Yeah. You stopped talking to her and your rods were just swaying, like doing their own thing. And then so I was like, okay, well, I'll try it and see what they do. So I tried it and it did the exact same thing. They just had like a mind of their own, like somebody was playing with it.
They probably were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You had said, well, maybe there's two spirits that are trying to use them at the same time. And then instantly they crossed for yes. So we got to the point that we figured out it was Harriet saying that her favorite seasoning was cinnamon. And then we heard four knocks, but she said it wasn't her. So then I grab the SLS and Jamie stands in the middle of the floor and puts her hand out to see if Mr. Mackey would come and shake her hand. And nothing happens. And so you're like, will you just come stand by me? And then I got an EVP of him saying, uh-uh.
You can't blame the guy.
So we'll play that.
Can you come stand by me? Can you come stand by me?
So then I asked if it was hard to keep warm in the wintertime because it was so freaking cold.
It was so cold. And there were not many places to heat things.
Like, no. And then Jamie was asking a question right after that. And then I got an EVP that's under her voice that you can hear. It's another male talking, but you can't understand what he's saying. So we're not going to play that one. But I thought that was interesting. We were getting responses because you don't get that as often.
No. Not as often as you think.
No, not as often as you wish.
That too.
So the next thing that I have listed down is that you guys went upstairs too. And so the interesting thing is you guys go up there and break out rods again. Jamie's rods are just kind of doing their own thing again.
Yeah, it was really weird. They did that a lot at the Mackey Mansion.
Well, what we noticed too is that it felt fuzzy in that room. So I don't know why, but it just felt weird. It didn't feel normal. It kind of felt weird.
Yeah.
Not like terrible, not like a bad feeling.
No,
it was just like
odd,
fuzzy, weird.
What's neat though is you guys are sitting there trying to figure out the rod piece and kind of like talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
We get this light anomaly that starts over the bed, over by the window, and then comes down, circles over the top of your guys's head, and then curls back around and goes up out of camera view, up towards the ceiling.
Which is a really odd movement if it were dust, because there is no
airflow,
air conditioning. There is no fan. There is no heat. There's nothing.
There's no wind.
And generally when you see dust, you don't just see one particle.
No.
You see many. Multiple particles.
Yeah.
And they all follow the same flow. Mm-hmm. And they don't stop and hover for a second and then go in a different direction.
Yeah. It took this light anomaly 11 seconds to make its trip around the room, mm-hmm. which is a very slow movement yeah. for something. And
it looks like it's pulsating.
It is definitely light pulsating.
Yes.
As it moves. And I saw lots of dust as I was watching through the videos. And it was usually like left to right or diagonal or straight up and down. It was very a one line.
And mind you, there isn't actually a lot of dust. Like, you don't see a lot of dust as you're watching.
No.
This is literally the only thing on the camera. Yeah. So it's not like you're having to pick whether this is dust or not. And mind you, we're not going to say it's an orb unless we really think that it's an orb. Mm-hmm. We are going to cut it out because most stuff, we're going to chalk it up.
Well, and this thing is big.
Yeah. We're going to chalk it up to dust.
Yeah.
Or bugs.
Or something.
Or reflection or whatever. Yeah. But this was pretty legit.
And so I'm going to put that up on social media so you guys can see it up on our YouTube channel. So we'll put any of the video stuff that we have from here, we're going to put up on YouTube.
So because the room felt fuzzy, I felt like it was coming from Emma's room, which was one of their daughters.
Which was right across the hall.
Yep. So I had Jamie go stand in the doorway and Jamie's rods went flying like crazy. And I asked if it was Emma, and they said yes, but then they went crazy again. So I wonder, like, if it was just her playing around or what.
Well, what's neat is that she's over there.
Uh-huh.
You ask how old Emma is,
mm-hmm.
and I get an EVP. Now, I can't tell what it is, but it's definitely a little girl's voice that responds.
Awesome.
So, and it's really, it's a real rough one, so it's not worth playing, but mm-hmm. it's just super neat.
That's cool. So, and every time we ask her a question, she'll answer, but then just start playing with the rods again.
Yeah.
They're entertaining.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. And then at one point you get up to go see what's going on with Jamie. You leave mm-hmm. the room.
Yep.
And after you walk out of the room, we get another little girl EVP on the microphone, on the camera. So there's nobody even in the room and you guys are talking in the hallway and we get an EVP.
That's so awesome. So then we go back into Mr. Mackey's room and Jamie asked, do you like it when people sleep on your bed? And then I got an EVP, not an EVP, but you hear a thump on the bed. And if it was loud enough, I would play it for you. But anyways, it was like instant, which was way cool. And then Jamie left. And you started having like a coughing attack.
Did I?
Yeah. You're like, Josh, bring me up some water.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then, so Jamie goes down and then Josh comes up. And then I get an EVP of a male saying, yep. And then Josh asking Mrs. Mackey if she likes to read books. So I don't know where the yep comes from, like what it's answering, but I just hear yep. And then you're like, Mrs. Mackey, do you like to read books?
Just
maybe out of the blue. Maybe they're answering. Maybe they knew what I was going to ask.
Well, you never know. I mean, it could work that way.
Well, because you know we've shown that even on dowsing rods, spirits can answer through telepathy. Mm-hmm. You can ask a question in your head, and the rods will answer.
Yeah.
So maybe she knew that I was going to ask that question and answered ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
Do we want to play that one?
Yeah, we can play that one.
Okay, we'll play that one.
Miss Mackey, did you like to read books? Miss Mackey, did you like to read books?
So then after that, Josh and I head over to the attic door and we knocked on it to see if we could get a response, to see if there was anything up in the attic, just because that would be so cool. And we got nothing.
Yeah.
We were denied.
Yeah, it was worth a try.
It would have been so cool, though. So then all of us go into the office, right? Or do you go anywhere else?
I don't go anywhere else, but there was an incident that happened with Jamie using the rods that was interesting because you guys put a cat ball in Emma's room, hoping she'd play with it, or a ball in Emma's room, hoping she'd play with it.
I have like a ping pong ball.
Yeah. And so you guys put the camera on it and you guys go back into Mr. Mackey's room and you start using the rods again. I start using the rods when I'm up with you. What's interesting is I start asking the typical questions, male, female, you know, all those answers are no. I'm like, did you ever have a human body?
Oh, yes.
No. And we're like, okay.
Are you male? No. Are you female? No.
Do you ever have a human body?
No.
We're like, okay, what? And then, what is going on?
And the funny part is the whole night, like in my head, I kept picturing this black dog. Yep. It just like randomly, I would just see this black dog. Obviously not with my eyes. Like I didn't actually see it with my eyes, but I would just like in my head see this picture of this black dog in the house. I'm like, what in the heck? So I'm just going to like throw it out there. Are you a dog?
Yes.
And we go, yes. We're like, okay, well, I guess that makes sense with all of the questions that we're asking.
Smart dog.
Yeah. So we're like, that's when we get into this question and debate of like, how?
How do they communicate?
Right.
How does a dog
use... Is that use, legit?
How does a dog use dowsing rods?
Are you lying? Yeah.
But then it also makes you wonder, though, because... you hear so many stories of people who have had NDEs, which are near-death experiences, and they talk about them not actually talking when they communicate. They use their mind. Yeah. And so I wonder if it's something like that where, because I've heard people talk about being able to have that communication with their animals and after they pass, you know, in the eternities, you know?
Yeah.
And so... I mean, is it a far reach?
I don't think it's as far as people think it is.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Well, because we talked to the one lady that she says she's a medium, which is not uncommon for people to claim that. But she also says that she works with animals and gets images and stuff communicating to her from animals. She's able to help find lost pets and stuff like that.
Oh.
So if they're able to communicate that way as a living animal through psychic links, then there's... What's to stop them after death to be able to communicate in that way?
Well, exactly.
So who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I will say this. It's the first time and only time so far that I'm aware of that a dog has ever communicated on dowsing rods.
Good boy.
Good boy.
Here's a Scooby snack.
So is that when we head into the office?
Yeah, that's when we head... we head back down to base camp. We head back down to base camp.
So we did a portal session.
The portal is essentially an SB7 spirit box. So it's something that rotates through the channels, the radio channels, but puts it through a little bit of a reverb so you don't get the ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch noise.
You don't get the static.
Super annoying.
Yeah.
I hate the ch-ch-ch sound. Yeah.
So it cuts that out and puts it a little bit through for a reverb. It's supposed to help people understand or spirits be able to talk to you better and you can understand them better. I think it's debatable. Sometimes it's really hard to hear what's being said.
Here's the thing. I think it's like anything. In some locations, it can work really good.
Mm-hmm.
And in others, not. It just depends on, I think, spirit activity, how strong the spirit comes through.
Yeah. But our goal for doing any investigating, which we did for a little bit of time there in base camp, was there was a female skull in one of the cabinets there. And there, on right by her ear, there's a perfect round hole.
Yeah.
In the side of her skull. And that's the only thing they found when they were like excavating the area.
And it was found in the backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they never found
any the rest other, of her body.
The rest of her body. They only found her skull.
Which, yeah. I mean, it's the desert. It's going to have
scavengers
that are going to take pieces of their body away.
And, you don't bury deep enough that can for sure happen.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
But our whole point of doing the portal method was to try to figure out
who that was.
Yeah.
So, of course, the first question asked, right, is can you tell me your name? And almost right away, right after Elisa asked the questions, we get a voice that comes through that says Beth.
Yeah. Wasn't that a male voice, though, that come through?
There's a female voice. Because
it's a male first, and then a female comes in later.
Yeah, so I had it backwards.
Yeah.
And then we ask again, can you say your name again? And then we get Beth the second time.
Yes.
Which none of us...
Picked up on it
at all.
Yeah, I don't know what we were thinking. Obviously, we weren't.
No.
Could have been the cold. Our brains could have been half frozen. I don't know.
Well, and sometimes it's hard to hear, like when these things are coming through, they're coming through kind of quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And like Beth is a very short one syllable word. So it's very, very fast. But on the audio, it was very clear. You could clearly hear it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the funny thing is we asked that question many, many more times. throughout this cycle. And Elisa asks it again. Can you try and tell me your name again? This time we get a male voice that comes through, but it doesn't say Beth or Bethany. It sounds like Elam.
Elam?
Elam.
Interesting.
So, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. At the beginning, Mr. Mackey, supposedly, tells us there are 12 spirits in this house. And because, again, we're constantly asking what your name is.
Yep.
Because you're throughout the night and throughout sessions, whether it's a portal session and EVP session and SC's method, whenever you're doing any of those things, you're going to get multiple spirits that come through. And so you're like, oh, this is a new voice. Okay, who are you? On one of them, we got Tracy.
Yeah, see, that was the thing is, like, we also thought it said Tracy, but listening back to the audio that I heard, it sounded like Elam.
Tracy and Elam do not sound anything alike.
I am well aware of that but I listened to it like multiple times.
Is this the whole gray and green thing?
It probably
again?
Is okay. Because probably. I listened to the same thing, and on my recorder, it sounds like Tracy.
So,
who knows?
Yeah, that's a very interesting thing.
Who knows?
But what's interesting is I said, was your name Tracy? And we get a response back, and it's a woman's voice, and it goes, maybe.
Well, oh, now we're playing games.
Yes. Yeah, and I asked what happened to her, and then I heard gun.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
And then Josh asked how many people were in the room, and Emil said, no one.
No one is answering.
No
you.
One. So but that was pretty much the end of that. And then we started doing the SC's method, right?
Well, I got a couple more off of there, too.
Oh, you did?
I did. Because I said, was she shot? And the answer was, it was you.
Oh, I didn't hear that part. See, that's why it's good to have two people.
That's right. And then, because we were talking about, Jamie was talking about the ice pick.
Yes, because it looks like an ice pick. Right. It looks like that's what somebody did to her.
And because we're asking, you know, we're trying to figure out what it was. And Elisa, there's another cabinet closer to the ground where it's got a bunch of tools in it.
Yep.
So Elisa's bent down and looking in there. And I'm like, I think an ice pick's a good size. And then over the portal, we get, yes, it is.
Oh, awesome.
And that's when you said, was she killed by one of the tools? And the answer was a gun.
Oh, okay. So that's where that came in.
Yep. But then there was another voice that came through, a male voice that says garden, pew. And then a female voice that comes in shortly after that goes, ow.
Pew, pew.
Well, which is kind of cool because in a minute, we're going to talk about the Essie's method that we do.
Yep.
And that's kind of relevant.
It is.
So.
And then. Why was she buried by the house, right? And we get a female voice that comes through and says, which house? And then another female voice that comes through that says, David. And then a male voice that comes through and says, here.
So cool.
So cool.
That's awesome. Love it.
And then I said, can you tell me how many people are in the room? And that's when we get three responses off of that. There's one voice that comes through and says, basic. And then no one. And then eight.
Jeez.
It's like, can you make up your mind?
Well, they're probably three different spirits.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
And then this is the part that is very interesting. Because Elisa, you ask, can you say one of our names?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer that comes back is God. And then hello. And then I say, can you say any one of our names? And then we get God again.
Really?
A second time. And then baguette.
Because
that's totally
random. We're hungry.
That's totally random. But the interesting thing is God comes through twice on the same question, essentially asked by two separate people.
Do you remember if it was the same voice?
I don't. But what I can do is I can put all of this together in a video and put it up on YouTube.
That'd
for
be
us.
Awesome.
And then we start our
SC's method.
Yep. These two sections, the portal session and the SC's method, were almost 40 minutes total in length.
Mm-hmm.
But the funny thing is as I'm watching the video and our responses, most any of the things that were said through the portal, we did not respond to.
No, because
we just
honestly, we
didn't hear it.
Honestly, when you listen back to a portal session or a SBS or like a spirit box.
Yeah.
SB7, you can always hear it clear when you're listening to that.
Then in the moment.
Then in the moment. Yes. In the moment, your brain is like going, or you're hearing like all the reverb and you're hearing all the stuff. And so your brain is like overloaded, but somehow, I don't know how this works, but when you listen back to it and you have headphones on,
it's clear.
It's clear.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy to me. I wish we could like
do that in the moment.
Just do that in the right? moment.
That's like you hear Steve, Dave. Your name is Dave?
Oh, man.
Ellen, Steve. Okay. All right. So now we start off with the Essie's method.
Yep.
So the things that I have are, I only wrote down the things that were actually relevant because I didn't want to go through all the questions that we ask.
Right.
That didn't have a relevant answer to it.
I wrote every one of them down.
You would.
They had no answers to them. I just wrote all the questions down.
So, yeah, I don't really want to waste anybody's time.
No, we won't go through the questions that didn't get answered.
Josh, there please were don't waste our time.
I do that enough as it is.
So, and I even put down some that are kind of relevant, but maybe, I don't know. Anyway, so this is what I've got. You guys ask, was your body dumped behind this house? And then I said, you will never be alone again. Okay, I don't know. Maybe we need to go over the Essie's method, what this is, really quick.
Probably.
Yeah.
So what the Essie's method is I will put headphones on, like noise-canceling headphones. I will put in the SP7 spirit box.
Crank it up to 900.
Crank it up to max. And even they can hear the coming through my headphones.
Yeah, that's all we hear, though.
Because it's so loud. Mm-hmm. But then they ask questions. I can't hear them. And I will answer whatever I receive on my end. So whatever I hear through the SP7, I will respond. So that's basically what it is. It's making it so I can't hear. I can only tell you what my responses are. So I don't even know what the questions are being asked. So anyways, you say, was your body dumped behind this house? And then I say, you will never be alone again. And it's a female. And then you guys ask, were you murdered? And then I say, tools to do it. And it was a male, which is very relevant.
Yep.
Relevant.
Relevant. I was like, that did not come out right. That did not sound right. And then you said, was your murder solved? Was someone punished for your death? And then a male says, what the heck? But cuss word. And he was mad. And that, like, I could hear it. He was mad.
You took off your headphones.
Yeah.
When that happened.
Generally, when it's something like that, where it's that prominent, it startles you. Because when you hear it, hear the answers, you'll hear, like, tools to do it. But this one was like, what the heck? And then after that, I said, that was the course. So, and then I hear another female say, cold, stop. And then I hear choking, somebody being choked, and then the death gargle.
Yeah, that was the death gargle was in response. I asked the question, how many spirits are in the house?
That was right after.
Which was not even relevant.
Yeah, well, that was right after.
Okay.
So I hear the death gargle and I took off the headphones again because I was just like, what the heck? I'm like, I just heard the death gargle. I have never heard anything other than voices coming through, meaning they're speaking. I've never heard sounds like this because if you think about this, I'm scanning radio stations.
Yeah.
Radio stations are not going to play somebody choking, having the death gargle or anything like that.
Or profanity.
Well, and you got to remember, this comes over how many sweeps? Like, this isn't just hitting on one. This is going over how many?
Yeah. So this is how fast it's going. That's each radio station.
It's that quick.
So it's one. I think it's one station every 250 milliseconds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is still 0.2 seconds. Mm-hmm. It's
ridiculously fast. So, and there's no way that there is going to be full sentences coming out of this.
No.
Right.
Out of the radio station. There's no time.
And exactly. In Virginia City, I think there's one radio station.
Yeah.
I don't think there's that many, actually.
Yeah. So then when you say how many spirits are in the house, I say it's not huge.
So it's not, I guess, translation. It's not a lot.
No. No, it's not a lot.
So then after that, Jamie and I go upstairs. Do you guys go anywhere, Josh?
I ended up going down to the basement by myself, actually.
So what happened to you down there?
So, not a lot, actually. That's the part that's funny. It's like, you go do these things and like not a whole lot happens. But I did take the obvious down with me.
Did you say the obvious? It sounds like you said obvious.
I took the obvious.
But what's interesting is I did
obviously.
I did have an answer to a question I answered. So I asked the question, do you like that people are here trying to communicate with you? And I got a male voice that came through, a distinct male voice that says no.
Oh, I think we got that. Because Jamie and I heard that. Jamie and I are upstairs in the hallway, and we asked the question at the exact same time. And we said, or Jamie, you said, have you ever been to Utah? And that's the same. And at the exact same time, we got no from the ovulus downstairs. Your ovulus, we heard it.
Yeah, this is an EVP.
Oh, that's an EVP?
That's an EVP of a male voice.
Okay. Because we thought it was the ovulus.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like you probably did get a response from the ovulus, but I had left.
Oh, okay.
And so, but this is when I was down there, and it was a male voice that came through, and it's just no. Like,
interesting.
I don't like you guys here. Which is interesting, right? I didn't feel any ominous nature or anything down there. I didn't stay down there too long, maybe 10 minutes, and I left.
Yeah. There's really just a stairway. That's really it.
It's a stairway, yeah.
Because all there is a stairway, and then to your direct left, there's that big open room. It's a separate room, so there's a door. There's the open dining room.
Yep, and that's it.
And that's it, but you can't go in there.
No, it's blocked off.
So you really only have the stairway.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's interesting, though, is I left. I go upstairs, go back to base camp, because I'm like, this is
boring.
Boring. There's nothing.
You can only handle so much.
Going on. Yeah, and I was tired. But what's interesting is I left, and the camera can pick up you two talking. I left the camera downstairs. It can pick up you guys talking. I can't totally make out what you guys are saying, but I get an EVP that comes through that says, I don't know.
I'd be curious to find out what we're saying upstairs or not saying.
That's funny. That's my most time just laughing.
It was funny. Okay, so Jamie and I are upstairs in the hallway, just hanging out in the hallway. And
We're sitting on the hallway floor.
Mm-hmm. And we're having an EVP session. And you're like, that's when you said, have you ever been to Utah? And we heard the
obviously.
Oh, my gosh.
Now
that you have said that, I'm like, screw myself up.
We obviously heard the ovulus.
Heard the ovulus downstairs say no. No or not. I'm not totally sure on that. Anyways, so then I asked, can you make a little knock somewhere close to us so that we can hear it? And then you hear four knocks on the recorder. And then less than a minute later, I got really, really cold. And then Jamie doesn't feel it, but it's just me. But then within 5 seconds, I'm toasty warm again. So I was like actually warm for the first time that entire night. And then I get freezing cold. And 5 seconds later, I get warm again. And that's when things kind of go downhill.
You know, guys, it was late or early. We were losing
birds
it.
Were chirping.
Sun was coming up. We were tired.
I could hear birds chirping on my recorder. So
it's about 4 o'clock in the morning.
I thought it was
maybe 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was more like six. So as you are doing EVP sessions, as you're ghost hunting the entire night, you are trying so hard to be quiet. You are trying not to burp. You're trying not to fart. You're trying to not let your stomach grumble. You're trying to make it so your throat doesn't gurgle. You're trying to like do all the things to be quiet.
You're holding every bodily function in.
And you do not realize how much you try to keep in until you do. Anyways, so I was like, dude, I'm done. I got to fart real bad. It has been a brewing. Jamie's like, fart, go for it.
I'm just like, fart.
Okay, mind you, I'm in this thick coat that is long.
Didn't you have 3 layers on?
Oh, totally. I was like losing circulation with how many layers I had on underneath.
So, have you ever seen the Christmas Story where they put the little kid in the star? Like, he looks like a starfish. I can't put my arms down.
That was Elisa. That's Elisa.
That was me. It was so cold. Anyways, so I'm like, I got to fart. And she's like, fart. So I did. And it was like this tiny little burp. So then I start laughing. And then as I'm laughing,
firecrackers.
It's like every time I laugh, it's like burp, burp, burp. So her and I are busting a gut. We are laughing so hard. I have tears streaming down my face. And it gets quiet for just a second. And then you hear a male spirit go, ugh.
Like he was so disgusted or something.
And then we continue laughing because I'm suffocating myself with my own fart. And it's blowing up in my face. There's no place for this fart to go except for back up to my face. I'm dying. And then we are laughing hysterically again. And then we pause for just a second. And during that pause is another sigh, another male spirit going, ugh. And you can tell it's a little more exasperated than the first one.
I mean, it was so bad she unhaunted the Mackie Mansion.
That it wasn't really a ghost sign. It was the sound of all the spirits fleeing.
And we try to tag every little thing, every little sound that we make.
Oh, yeah.
So we always say, like, if we fart, we have to tag it. Like, if you burp, you have to tag it.
Yeah.
Any sound that you make, you tag it.
That's right.
So that's why, like, for us, it's like, well, you might as well just do it because...
End of the night, you know.
Yep. Just
let her rip.
And that's just kind of how our relationship is anyways. We just don't really care at this point. So anyways, that happens. Okay, so then after that, all of us head up to Mrs. Mackey's room and Mr. Mackey's room, and we do another Estes method because at this point we are pretty much done. It is dead. We're not really getting anything that we know of.
It felt so still and so quiet after 1 o'clock in the morning.
It felt like if all the spirits left.
I went to bed.
I was trying to stay awake. In fact, during this Estes session, I am pretty sure I fell asleep.
Oh, I don't even doubt it.
At least once, if not more.
I don't doubt it. That's why we try the Estes method, just to see if we can catch anything with our ears, right? Because there's no really other way that we're getting anything. We're trying everything. Nothing's working. I'm in Mrs. Mackey's room. I'm on the lounge chair. And
that's very courageous of you to be on that lounger.
I know, after what we saw.
Yeah.
The events that transpired there.
I know. And the rest of you guys are in Mr. Mackey's room.
Yeah, we're on the couches in there.
Mm-hmm. And instantly we start off and Josh says, I'm Josh. And you say, Jamie. And then Stacy's like, I'm Stacy. And can you tell us one of our names? And then I hear, go.
They were ready for us to go, too.
maybe he's telling Elisa to go because she unhaunted the upstairs.
Get out of here, you stinky butt.
That is unladylike. Get out of my room.
He's like, I'm so sick of you being in here. And then I hear, get off of it. Because I was on the fainting couch.
Yep. Yeah.
And then I've been around.
We know.
We know. And then you guys say, Mrs. Mackey, are you here with us? And then I get off of it. Rise. You say, get off of what? And I said, the end. I'm mad. You say, who are you mad at? You. Why are you mad at us? You shouldn't have come here. There are five now. And then you say, do you not like us being up here? And then I get, go eat an apple.
No.
There it is, guys. There it is.
The moment you've been waiting for.
So if you don't know, if you don't know, for some reason, this has been a theme for us.
Ever since Camp Floyd.
That's where it started. We were at Camp Floyd and we were in this little museum and kind of having a rough conversation, if you will.
A little heated.
A little heated conversation with the spirit.
Jamie was fighting with it.
We're doing an Essie's method in there, so I don't know what's going on her end. All I'm hearing is what he's saying. He was mad. And he said, go eat an apple. Ever since then, we've heard it at multiple places that we've investigated.
Fort Douglas.
Yeah, we've heard it there. We've heard it at Fort Douglas. We've heard it here at the Mackey Mansion. I know we've heard it several other places.
There was somewhere else too. I can't remember.
I think it was the Stanley.
Maybe that was it.
So we've heard it at a few other places. And I'm like, okay, who's in on this? Like, who?
Right?
Who is the one saying this?
Or maybe one spirit is telling all the spirits, hey, you know these guys? Go tell them to go eat an apple when they come up there and investigate.
So that's pretty much what I get out of that one. And then we head down to the parlor and do another Essie's method, because the parlor is, it seems for us to be the place where most everything is happening. Yeah. Felt like that was the best way to end.
I will tell you this, though, that Estes method was a long Estes method.
Yeah.
Yes.
With a lot of questions that didn't get answered.
Yep.
Yes.
And yeah, like I said, I'm pretty much sure I fell asleep during that one.
Yeah, it's hard when you're not getting anything, because there's no response coming from the other end. So it's like, what do you do? Right. Do you keep going or do we just stop? Right.
We gave it the old college try, because at that point in time, we had to investigate the entire house.
Yep.
Twice. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what more do we got?
Yep.
Not much.
And especially when you're not getting anything, it's not as fun.
Yeah.
You know? Even if you just get one thing in each room, you're like, okay, and keep going.
Yeah.
But then nothing happens for hours upon hours. So anyways, so we're back down to the parlor. Again, it's all of us and doing the Essie's method. And then you say, I'm Josh, Jamie. And I say, Alice, like right after. It was super quick. And Jamie, you were like, we'd really like to talk to Harriet. And then I say, I'm sure you're right. Then you say, how many spirits are in the room with us? I say, one. You said, are you Harriet? I say, Bobby. Can you tell us one of our names? How come? And then Josh says, can you touch my ball on the table? And we all start laughing. And I say, it's large. And then Jamie's like, can you touch that cat ball on the table? It won't hurt you. It will just light up.
I felt like I had to step in there and kind of correct it.
And then I say, you're dang right. But what came through was a bad word. You're dang right. You can have it. It's in the basement. And then you say, what's in the basement? And I said, well, nobody. You said, how old are you? I said, 12. You're young. How did you die? Do you remember? Weather. They can't find me. And then a deep man's voice comes in and says, I'm here. And it was like really like prominent, like I'm here. And then you say, Bobby, are you still here? And then I say, don't work too hard. You say, do you have a message for us before we go? I said, please pick up after yourselves.
That's a great message. That's
such a great message.
That's
we had
so
stuff
perfect.
Everywhere in the house.
You know, you said, is this your home? I said, I think so. You said, what is your surname? I say, I don't want to tell you, but it's a Hispanic male that comes through. And you said, were you a caretaker? I said, yes. Were you in charge of the outside property? I said, I'm a bull rider. And then you said, did you dance naked on the balcony? I said, about 3 times. Now let's give context to this. Do you remember the story, Josh?
I do not.
Okay. From vague memory, there was a story where they were having a party or of some sort, or a get together of some sort. And there was a boy that got on the balcony and was naked and was dancing around.
Wasn't that at a wedding?
Maybe it was a wedding.
Wedding reception that was held there?
It could have been. I don't remember for sure. I just know it was a get together. And there was a boy that was dancing on the balcony. Naked.
Well, I mean,
like it's an actual event that happened.
It fits.
It does fit.
You said, did they throw stones at you while you were dancing? And then I said, bad parenting. And I said, how was it? And you're like, the investigation? It was fun. I said, right on. We'll miss you. And you said, we'll be back one day. I said, it's your lot. And then you said, do you know Paul Welch? And I got, which was interesting because we got EVPs that said, throughout the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just barely put that together. And then you said, do you know the square root of 4? Like, totally random. And I got, what's 4? And then I got, I know both of them. And then you said, before we go, can you please touch the cat ball? I said, negative. You said, I don't blame you. I said, no remorse. There's only one, and one hot dog. and then you guys said, we're going to go. Thanks for chatting with us. And right when I'm taking off the headphones, because you tap me out. Every time we get done with an Essie's method, they come and tap on me because I generally will have my eyes closed or something over my face or whatever. I think that night it was so freaking cold. I had hoods over my face or something.
Yeah.
So anyways, they tap me out. I start taking off the headphones and I hear jerks.
Wow.
As I'm taking it off. Anyway, so that one was a fun one. So
a lot of laughs there.
Now, I do throw in that square root of 4 question every so often because some of the spirits should know what the square root of 4 is.
Well, and I think throwing in a random one there makes them go, wait, what?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Maybe makes the spirit gets its attention a little more.
Yeah.
Well, and it's like, how relevant can they be?
That too.
Exactly.
You know, and you kind of want to throw in a random question, no matter what it is, or repeat a question to see if they'll answer it again the same way.
Yes.
Yeah. And sometimes I'll, like we did at Fear Factory, I started asking questions in Spanish. Now, granted, my Spanish is very limited, but if you ask a question in Spanish and you get a Spanish response
from someone who doesn't know a lick of Spanish.
Yeah. Like, those are very good, like, you know, signs that you are speaking to potentially to a spirit because it's a very relative response.
Yeah. Because I remember that one because when I was sitting on the stairs and then we were doing it, I don't know any Spanish. Like, literally, I know none. I can count to 10. You know?
Well, that's some.
I got 4 phrases in Spanish. And
I was like, I don't know what what? This is a totally different language. And I'm like trying to totally chopping whatever I'm saying. But yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun doing the Estes method.
Yeah.
We really do.
So that ends up being it for the night. And we pack up and head out. And it's daylight.
Then we hit a speed bump on the
on the way down.
That was so much fun.
The car flew.
It did. We Dukes of Hazzard that car.
Oh, sure, man. It was a blast.
A little scary.
But we were laughing so hard.
I was holding on to the old crap handles. And I was just hanging off for dear life, just having the best time.
It was great. We won't do it again, but boy, it was worth it.
It was so worth it.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about doing it, too. We're like, well, we should totally hit this fast going down. Mind you, it's a 25-mile-an-hour hill, right? And you do need to go 25 miles an hour on this hill because it's steep hill, then it flattens for the railroad tracks, then it goes straight down again. So it's like it's this little bit of spot. And so we went down.
And we gunned it.
And I hit it at 45, so it wasn't going super fast.
But it felt fast.
But it felt fast. And we
lit.
I know.
Yeah.
All 4 tires were off the ground.
They were off the ground. And when it hit the ground, because I was a little scared because we were headed towards the ditch, which really at this point was just a shoulder, right? But I'm like, oh, geez, it's going to be bad. Is the end of Cold Spot Paranormal.
we die happy.
Well, we hit the ground and then it course corrected and we were fine. But I was like, oh my gosh, boy.
It was so much fun. I'd do it again. Yeah. Josh is like, I wouldn't.
Not in my car. Once was good.
Next time we're going to rent a Metro. We're going to get some air on that thing. We're getting the insurance because it's going to see more air time than the shuttle.
That's why you never buy rental cars, folks.
That's right.
But we want to say thank you for listening to our episode. Thank you for listening. Please, if you enjoy what we do, please like and subscribe and leave a review. That really does help us out. And as always, stay ghosty, my peeps.
How do you think the world will end? Alien invasion? Nuclear disaster? Another more deadly pandemic? I'm Jackie Moranti, and I'm the host of Cause of Death, 100 Seconds to Midnight. I talk about the things that could obliterate mankind. I call it pre-apocalyptic nonfiction. The doomsday clock was set at 100 seconds to midnight from January of 2020 to January of 2023. On January 24th, 2023, the Board of Atomic Scientists moved the hands of the clock even closer to midnight. Now, it's set at 90 seconds to midnight, the closest it's ever been. From nuclear disaster to environmental threats to food and water crises, find out how mankind is destroying itself 1 second at a time. If you haven't listened to my podcast, you should.
Thank you for listening to the Paranormal Peeps podcast. You can find us on social media at Twitter at CPR Paranormal, on Facebook at Paranormal Peeps Podcast and Cold Spot Paranormal Research. And you can find us on Instagram at Cold Spot _Paranormal _Research.